Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, with the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present, we'll continue reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, text 18, which is actually the pinnacle of the entire pastime, the text where it is described that Mother Yashoda finally bound Lord Krishna, succeeded in her efforts. Let's chant the Sanskrit responsively. Svamato svina gatraya. Svamato svina gatraya. Visrasta kabarasraja. Visrasta kabarasraja. Tristva parishramam Krishna. Tristva parishramam Krishna. Kripaya sit svabandhane. Kripaya sit svabandhane. Svamatu svina gatraya. Visrasta kabarasraja. Tristva parishramam Krishna. Kripaya asit svabandhane. Please. Svamata svinagatraya. Vistrasta kabarasraja. Tristva parishramam Krishna. Kripaya asit svabandhane. Svamata svinagatraya. Vishamam Krishna. Kripaya asit svabandhane. Atraya Visrasta kabarasraja. Ishta parishramam Krishna. Kripaya asit svabandhane. Ladies, please. Svamata svina gatraya. Visrasta kabarasraja. Rishamam Krishna. Kripaya asit svabandhane. Samata svinagatraya. Visrasta kabarasraja. Ishta parishramam Krishna. Kripaya asit svabandhane. Svamato. Of his own mother, Krishna's mother Yashoda Devi. Svinagatraya. When Krishna saw his mother perspiring all over because of unnecessary labor. Visrasta. Were falling down. Kabara. From her hair. Srajaha, of whom the flowers. Drishtva, by seeing the condition of his mother. Parishramam, he could understand that she was now overworked and feeling fatigued. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kripaya, by His causeless mercy, upon His devotee and mother. Asit, agreed. Swabandhane, in binding him. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Purport. When Mother Yashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. Thus, they gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna and his devotee, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus, Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, was brought to work, and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. Swamatu svinnagatraya visrastaka varasraja drishva parishramam Krishna kripayasit subandane. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. This is very amazing episode of this very amazing pastime. And after this verse, Shukadeva Goswami will just go into glorification of the Lord. The following verses will explain, you know, Shukadeva Goswami will be giving his own purpose to this particular part of the pastime, resulting in text 21, which is very famous. Nayam sukapa bhagavan dihinam gopika sutta gyaninam chatma bhutana yatha bhakti matamiha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. So, there is a lot to be said about this particular aspect of the devotional service, meaning that Krishna becomes subordinate to his pure devotee's unalloyed love for him. Nevertheless, what I was thinking to do is to read a little bit from the explanations of this pastime or elaborations of this pastime given by great acharyas. I was thinking it will be much better than my mumbling. And because these details, I mean, there are some pros and cons. Some devotees are not into reading from the other books rather than Srila Prabhupada's books. But my understanding is that it's completely fine as long as we are doing it in the mood of Srila Prabhupada's purports without deviating from his perception. And also those details are so amazing, and sometimes devotees just don't get to learn about these intricacies and so of us Prabhu said it's fine. So on the basis of his authority I want to do that. And also I know from Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami that Dwarakadish really enjoys hearing all the details about his pastimes in Vrindavan. So for his pleasure we also want to mention those interesting details. So we'll be backtracking a little bit in the pastime, and we'll go a little bit back to the point where Mother Yashoda is chasing after Krishna, and finally she's catching him and binding him, and there is a kind of conversation which according to Srila Jiva Goswami takes place between Mother Yashoda and Krishna while she is trying to bind him. So we'll come to that. And so the first we'll be reading a little bit from Kapikarnapur's Ananda Vrindavan Champu. As soon as Krishna, who enchants the demigods with his beautiful body the color of a monsoon cloud, saw Mother Yashoda coming out of the house, he jumped up in fear and ran away as fast as possible. Expertly understanding the human-like nature of her son, Yashoda chased after him, calling, "Stop running, stop, O you, foremost cheater in the world." Actually, prior to that, it's explained that Krishna was looking around as if with 1,000 eyes to see if Mother Yashoda is coming. And Kavi Karnapur explains that the fifth has 1,000 eyes and the owner of the house has only 2 eyes. So fifth has an advantage. And what kind of fifth has 1,000 eyes? That's Krishna. Because how is that Krishna has 1,000 eyes? Because in Purusha Sukta he is glorified like that. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. Sahasra Aksha means 1,000 eyes. So Krishna has 1,000 eyes in his form as Purusha, and so he can see everything. Nevertheless, for the sake of the pastime, he's looking around, and then when he saw Mother Yashoda, he took to running. Krishna kept looking fearfully back over his shoulder while running away from Yashoda. Though Yashoda felt fatigued and mentally distressed, her body, arms and legs looked very beautiful as she pursued her mischievous son. Full of pride and anger, Yashoda continued shouting to Krishna, "Stop, you thief and liar! How can you carry on like this? Where are you going? Just stop running and stand where you are." Krishna said, "I will stop if you drop your stick." After saying this, Krishna stopped running away, but kept a safe distance from his mother Yashoda. From his mother, Yashoda said, "If you are so afraid of being punished, then why did you break my yogurt pot today?" Krishna said, "I will never do it again. Now, just drop the stick from your hand." And we can understand that Krishna gave this promise to never break the yogurt pot. And he actually kept it because we don't hear any other pastime when Krishna was breaking pots, at least in his house. So he kept his promise. Yashoda's mind turned into an abode of an amazement as she tried to approach her son. But seeing her angry mood, Krishna quickly ran away again while speaking in a distressed tone. Mother, please drop that big stick and do not punish me. O sinless one, if you do this, I will come to you. So he's glorifying Mother Yashoda, trying to pacify her. Meaning that you are sinless, so don't perform this sin by punishing me. After hearing Krishna's innocent appeal, Yashoda dropped the stick. Seeing this, Krishna stopped running. Absorbed in watching Krishna's transcendental pastimes, the immortal denizens of heaven felt totally amazed. One can easily understand how powerful demigods like Lord Brahma, who lives for trillions of years, became upset and bewildered upon seeing Krishna's pastime of showing fear before his mother. They could not fathom how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is feared by fear personified, ran away in fear of a stick in Mother Yashoda's hand. The fine hairs curling over Yashoda's face dripped with perspiration, and her blouse moved from her heavy breathing. Her hair hung loose from running, and her lotus face appeared exhausted. When she caught Krishna's hand, he said, Mother, please do not beat me. While saying this, Krishna rubbed his tear-filled lotus eyes with his delicate palms, which resembled the petals of a fresh lotus flower. And Gopal Champu, Vaishala Jiva Goswami, gives many interesting details. When she, means Yashoda, came face with him, he tried to cover his ghee-soaked limbs by smearing himself with dust. So he was trying to pretend that he never touched the ghee. Tried to conceal the evidence. Seeing this, Yashoda said, if you want to steal in this house, then look at this stick in my hand. When her lotus-eyed son was overcome with fear of hearing this, she threw down the stick. Mother, do not beat me. With a hidden smile, she said, but you are fifth. In this way, a quarrel began. Ah, you are the king of thieves. Your father's lineage is all thieves. In this way, the mother argued with the infant who has stolen the ghee. How did the yogurt pot break? Meaning that Krishna was saying, I never did anything wrong, so how did the yogurt pot break? It was the Supreme Lord's stick. So Krishna is very Krishna conscious, right? He's blaming it all on the Supreme Lord. And who gave ghee to the monkeys? He who created monkeys gave it to them. And of course he's speaking the truth, that it was the Supreme Lord who broke the pot. It was the Supreme Lord who fed the ghee to the monkeys. But because Mother Yashoda, she does not identify Krishna with the Supreme Lord in this particular pastime, he's just her son, she's thinking Krishna is being, cheeky and trying to, get away by preaching to her the philosophy. Of course, we understand it's all true. Whatever is happening by the will of the Supreme Lord. And then Mother Yashoda says, I think you always taste and eat the fresh ghee meant for sacrifices. Yes, of course. And it very much resembles the pastime of Lord Chaitanya when the Brahmana came to the house and he tried to cook very nice preparation and offer it to the Supreme Lord. And while offering was going on, little Nimai came in and started eating it. And the Brahmana was shocked. This boy contaminated my whole offering. So he had to cook it again. Nimai did it again. And then Brahmana was thinking, okay, it means the Supreme Lord wants me to fast. I cannot cook and offer this food. And then Nimai's father, Jagannath Mishra, said, okay, we'll lock Nimai into the room, and so you please cook and offer and take your prasadam. And the Brahmana did that, and everyone was already asleep. And then when he was ringing the bell and chanting the prayers, and he opened the eyes and he saw Nimai again eating the offering, and he was so shocked, and he wanted to, you know, raise an alarm again. But then Nimai said, what's wrong? You praying to me, you calling me, I'm coming to take your offering, and then you're upset. What's happening? And then, he, of course, he manifested his original form as Krishna in front of this Brahmana. And the Brahmana became so ecstatic that he was actually like smearing this prasadam all over his body. And then, he actually stayed in that place, just stayed nearby, just to always have a darshan of Nimai Pandit, understanding that he is his worshipable Lord Gopal. But somehow, Krishna never revealed that truth to Mother Yashoda, that he is the same. I mean, he tried, didn't work out so well. So they were always in that particular mood, just as mother and son. And so Mother Yashoda is blaming Krishna. Why are you eating this ghee which is meant for the Supreme Lord? After Yashoda scolded the infant as a thief, her heart softened. Smiling but with anger, she said, you should tell your secret and give up your pride. When his mother said this, her son began weeping. When you ran quickly, the pot broke because of being struck by your anklets. What is my fault in this? So now it's Mother Yashoda's fault. She broke the pot. Inspired by the Lord, the monkeys entered the house to steal. When they pulled at the ghee, I caught it. What is my fault? So Krishna says, these were the monkeys who stole the ghee. I tried to stop them. And then now, you know, you blame me for stealing the ghee. Seeing you holding a stick, I ran away like a thief. Seeing that I was frightened, you tried to mercilessly beat me without justice. Yashoda spoke with repentance. O best of the thieves, of thieves with clever words, though you are the son of the king of Raja, you are fond of monkeys and have the nature of a monkey. Fearful and give fear to his mother, he said, if I am a monkey, then I will go to the forest and stay there. His mother began to worry with fear. Who can understand him? A proud child will do this. I must tie him up to prevent this, since I am alone and cannot continue to pay attention to both the house and this child. So now we can understand why Mother Yashoda bound him. For Krishna's safety, because she was thinking, he will run into the forest and anything can happen to him. So just for Krishna's protection, let me tie him up. But she spoke aloud, O thief who bewilders even everyone with your restless eyes, do not think of avoiding me. After binding you up, I will go to the house quickly. If you show your strength, then steal something else. When she began tying him up, he became so angry that he breathed with a hissing sound. He said, Rohini, where have you gone with Balaram? Because you are not here, she is binding me up. Please come quickly. Because Rohini was far away, she could not hear. But other women who were neighbors, who had previously scolded him, heard his cries and came. They laughed and said, "Has he done anything at your house?" So that she would remember her own previous words. So you can understand that for all the neighbor ladies, it was the greatest victory day in Vrindavan, because finally Mother Yashoda discovered that Krishna is actually stealing, because when they came to complain, she would always say, no, my boy is so nice, he never does anything wrong, look at him, such an innocent face. And finally now he was caught by Mother Yashoda herself, and so they are teasing her, so he did something wrong in your house. Ignoring their words, she took an old string. Of course, she was ignoring their words. It was too painful for her to admit that she was wrong so many times. Ignoring their words, she took an old string from her hair and began binding him around the waist to the mortar near the outer door, just as Rudra's followers bound up Daksha to teach him a lesson. But the string was 2 fingers too short. She took another silk string from her hair and tied the 2 together, but still the string was 2 fingers short. Even when the other woman gave the churning rope, she could not tie him up. So first she just tried to do it with the string from her hair, then it was too short. They decided to use churning rope for binding Krishna. Just as a cloud touching a far mountain appears not to touch it, so the rope around his waist appeared to be 2 fingers too short. The other woman laughed and said, "Oh, Yashoda, we told you previously that he makes the original thief, Kapalaka, tremble by his great power of bewilderment. He shows himself to be a thief, taking joy in eating stolen goods." She said, "He was born at the wrong time. Thus, he does not know good from bad." Of course, we know Krishna was born at midnight, so very awkward time to be born. "But I think you have been put under a spell, since internally you are prejudiced against him, but externally you show yourselves differently." Laughing, they said, "Falling at your feet, we swear that we are not under some amazing spell." Actually, we can understand from where we are that all of them are under the spell of Yoga Maya. But they think they are not. She then began to think, "According to Garga's words, the Lord's powers are covering this boy and he does not know what's happening." So that's their understanding, that the Supreme Lord somehow, through, the powers of the Supreme Lord are going through this boy, and so he's doing something astonishing, but he himself doesn't realize that. She repeatedly brought churning ropes, because Garga Muni, he said, "Narayana Sama, this boy is equal to the Supreme Lord Narayana." She repeatedly brought churning ropes from the woman's house to see the limits of astonishment and tried to bind him up, but found no way to do so. Attempting to bind her son, she found no end to this endless task. Perspiration flowed over her limbs and her hair became loose. As much as Krishna made efforts to show his stubbornness, Yashoda's attempts became useless. As if under the influence of bad planets, it's understood that when his mind became moved by her fatigue, he became bound up by the first 2 ropes alone. All the other ropes became unnecessary. So he was actually bound by those strings from Yashoda's hair, not by the churning ropes. At least according to Jiva Goswami, this is what he says. And Of course, we understand why Krishna didn't want to be bound, because he wanted to play. He didn't have this plan to be bound and stay like that. But Mother Yashoda was determined. The performer of actions, Yoga Maya, acting according to his desire, created this incident for his mother, which appeared like some illusion. Yoga Maya performed such acts daily. Having tied up Krishna, she lengthened the rope with other ropes and tied him to the mortar. And little bit different description is in Ananda Vrindavan Champa by Kavi Karnapur. Yashoda thought, if I do not bind him, immediately he may run away into the deep forest. Yashoda then brought a grinding mortar and considered how to bind the one of boundless glories. Observing this, Krishna beamed an attractive smile. Yashoda ordered some maidservants, O Kurangavati and Lavangavati, fetch some smooth, soft rope made of jute. The attempt of Brajeshwari Yashoda to bind Krishna, the ever well-wisher of the whole creation, immersed her in an ocean of joy. Soon, many opulently dressed elderly gopis, the embodiments of limitless motherly affection, came there along with several curious boys with clean, beautiful, curly hair. So a few boys, Krishna's friends, were always also there, watching Mother Yashoda trying to bind Krishna. Mother Yashoda tied many ropes together, but they always measured 2 inches too short. Surprisingly, no matter how many ropes she collected, they remained 2 inches too short. She said, alas, this small distance seems to have become as vast as Brahma's universe. The Supreme Lord enacts this pastime by his personal energy to display his unlimited power. Observing the wonderful incident, of course, she understood that Supreme Lord is doing all this, but what she failed to realize that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Observing this wonderful incident, the elderly gopis tried to relieve Yashoda's anxiety by saying, O Yashoda, you are the most blessed one in creation. A minute ago, you tied a small golden belt around Krishna's thin waist, but now you cannot bind him with all the ropes in your house. Despite the number of ropes you tie together, they always end up 2 inches too short. There is some strange cause behind this phenomena, so you better stop trying to bind your son. Wow, it's amazing. They preach that she should stop, but she never does. What a determination. In great astonishment, Yashoda addressed the gopis, O Raja, gopis, I have no more ropes, so please bring all the ropes stored in your houses. It was not out of fear that the gopis gave all the ropes to Yashoda, but they did so in order to see Krishna's glorious transcendental character and relish his blissful pastimes. Feigning anger, Yashoda took all the additional ropes and tried again to bind her naughty son. While enjoying this scene, the doe-eyed housewives of Vrindavan laughed quietly while secretly tasting a special joy in their hearts. All the blissful moods of spiritual love harmonized in Krishna's childhood pastimes. Though Krishna's hands were very delicate, his eyes soon pained from continually rubbing the tears falling from them. In a choked up voice, he spoke some richly sweet words that captivated the minds of all. Finally, Krishna cried in a gentle, honey-sweet voice, emphasizing that Krishna, close friends like Subal, also wept along with their bosom friend. Yashoda's heart palpitated with her heavy breathing, her hair loosened, and the flowers fell to the ground. Perspiring, tired, overwhelmed, and her labor frustrated, Yashoda sat down to rest and figure out how to tie up Krishna. A short time later, she tried again to bind her matchless son. the elderly gopis, having lost all desire to return to their homes, stood motionless while staring at Krishna with unblinking eyes. Now, all the ropes in Vrindavan joined in fruitless attempt to bind the master of the universe. It is impossible to tie up bliss, wisdom, power, and consciousness. So how can anyone tie up Krishna, who is made of nothing but bliss, wisdom, power, and consciousness? How could Yashoda bind one who has no inside or outside, who is limitless, who has no beginning or end, who has infinite power, who is the totality of everything, who is completely full and beyond any contamination, and who is within and outside everything? Viewing this situation, the all-powerful Supreme Lord decided to bestow His mercy upon Yashoda. Also, Sanatana Goswami, in his Dasamattapani commentary, explains that while Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna, and she found that something's really going wrong here, I cannot do it. And then, after so many attempts were frustrated, she started praying to the Supreme Lord. Of course, not to Krishna, but to Narayan. Oh, Narayan, please help me to bind my son. And it says that Narayan actually heard her prayers at this moment. And so, it happened. So it's very interesting that, of course, we know what the two fingers indicate, right? Anyone remembers? Endeavor and mercy, yeah. So this pastime very clearly illustrates that first we have to endeavor very hard, and then mercy comes when we totally surrender unto the Supreme Lord. So it's very interesting that Yashoda is totally surrendered to the Supreme Lord and she controls Krishna. Even though Mother Yashoda eagerly desired to tie up Krishna, she met no success despite her total exhaustion. The endeavor of a devotee to bind the Lord can only be successful with the Lord's sanction. All of Yashoda's work now bore fruit because Krishna, out of compassion for her, suddenly allowed himself to be bound. Extending his mercy, he saved his beloved mother from further anger and frustration. So Yashoda, in this, what do you call it, match, competition between Krishna and Yashoda, Yashoda emerged victorious. And this is really amazing that devotee, pure devotee of the Supreme, is more powerful than the Lord Himself. And Yashoda actually did something which was literally impossible to do. And therefore, we know that right here, right? That Srila Prabhupada made this statement that impossible is the word in the Fool's Dictionary. And so he also encouraged BBT devotees to do the impossible, and they did it. Even though no one believed that it could be done, but Prabhupada gave his blessings and then impossible became possible. And we can understand that Srila Prabhupada himself did the impossible. Actually, he made those statements. He said, spiritual movement in the material world, impossible proposal. Because there is no match. And he made it even more impossible because he came not anywhere else but to America. I mean, India is the most spiritual country on the planet, and geographically, you think of the most remote place away from India. It's here. And what's... Yeah, so he came to the most materialistic, most remote country on the planet where everyone wanted to enjoy, and he started his movement from here. And then he bound the whole world with Krishna consciousness. He made 14 round the world tours, spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere and anywhere, so we can understand that the whole example, the whole life story of Srila Prabhupada, especially his last 12 years, very clear example how impossible can become possible in Krishna's service. And so we can see how Srila Prabhupada is so powerful, because he is doing exactly the same thing what the residents of Vrindavan do. They understand how to please Krishna, how to serve Krishna, what Krishna really wants. And so Srila Prabhupada did it also, and that's why without Lord Krishna's mercy, there is no chance. I mean, to be honest, if I would hear about Srila Prabhupada, maybe if I would born a little later, I would actually have a hard time to believe that such a person ever existed, that it was a real historical personality, because what he did, it's so hard to believe after 70. That was unbelievable feat. After 70, alone with no support, with literally nothing. And so we can see that Mother Yashoda is showing that impossible is nothing. If you serve Krishna, Srila Prabhupada showed with his whole life that impossible is nothing. And therefore, for us, these pastimes are embodying very important principles we should follow, which is to sacrifice everything to please the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. So, thank you all very much for your kind attention. If there are any... Okay, Raghupati Prabhu, microphone we have. Thank you. Raghupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Very interesting class. So I just want to see if I was understanding you correctly. Were you sort of drawing an analogy there, right, in the final part of your class between Mother Yashoda and Prabhupada? And it was in the same way that Mother Yashoda, she was struggling, as you know, to bind Krishna, and then Krishna appreciated the hard labor of his devotee, and he decided to allow himself to be bound. So in the same way, Prabhupada struggled, as you said, in an advanced age, at great risk, at great sacrifice of health and comfort and everything like that, to establish a movement. And in the same way, Krishna became compassionate upon Prabhupada, and just like he allowed Mother Yashoda to capture him, he allowed himself to be distributed as a movement. So that, was that the idea there? Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. It's a very beautiful question. Actually, this is the exact idea, because in the same way as Mother Yashoda tried to do something which was completely against, you know, the setup, because Krishna is unlimited, he cannot be bound. So she tried to do something which was literally, virtually impossible. So Srila Prabhupada, actually by going to America and by trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and he came to America. I mean, Krishna has only one principle in his dealings with living entities, and that principle is free will. So whoever doesn't want to serve him, whoever doesn't want to remember him, he just respects that, and he just allows them to live the way they like. He's not forcing anyone to surrender unto him, right? But then Srila Prabhupada, he came, you know, at least on this planet, those people who the least are interested in Krishna consciousness, they go as far away from the holy places, from India as possible, so this country. And we know that in Srila Prabhupada's times, the biggest mantra of America was sex, drugs, rock and roll, right? And don't trust anyone who is older than 30. And then Srila Prabhupada comes and he says, no sex, no drugs, no rock and roll, chant Hare Krishna. And he is older than 70, and they listen to him. So this is called miracle. So, and, you know, somehow Krishna actually had to go beyond his principle of free will and encourage these people to take up to Krishna consciousness, because Srila Prabhupada had such a burning desire to save them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. For a new person who happens to hear different varieties of a particular pastime and who might not be too familiar, the tendency sometimes is to think, well, which version is correct, or which more accurate, or why? Would you be so kind to explain how these different acharyas with different insights and revelations and visions place an harmony and is not contradictory?
Yes, that there are different descriptions in different parts of the scriptures, and different acharyas sometimes describe different details of the pastimes which may appear to be contradicting each other, but actually it is not, for the simple reason because Krishna is unlimited and his pastimes are unlimited. They performed eternally many times. And so different acharyas might describe different episodes actually happening of the same pastime, or different versions of the same pastime. So there might be different details like that. So this is my understanding, which I heard from one of the very learned devotees. Alright. Is it okay? Is it answering your question? Okay, so if there are no more questions, I wanted to thank all of the devotees for your kind hospitality and your wonderful, inspiring association. So I'll be leaving tomorrow. Please give me your blessings to be Krishna conscious and serve Vaishnavas and have opportunity to serve you again sometime and reciprocate with your kindness. So thank you all very much. Granta Rachimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Serving multi-purpose.